Good morning and welcome to St. Nicholas Church, Orpington. And we are continuing our series looking at the Epistle of James. And the reading today is taken from James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. We'll take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A little after midnight on Sunday, the 2nd September 1966, a fire broke out at Thomas Farriner's Bakery in Pudding Lane, North London. By Thursday, this fire, which of course came in time to be known as the Great Fire of London, had destroyed 13,200 houses, 87 parish churches, St Paul's Cathedral, and most of the buildings of the city authorities. Remarkably, only 6 verified deaths were recorded from the fire. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, the Apostle James had written sometime before AD 50. Well, around a millennium and a half later, he could have written, consider what a great city is set on fire by a small spark. And that fire was an incredible picture of how much destruction one small spark can wreak. And it was a vivid picture in James's letter, and it's a vivid picture even today. And you know, I can well believe that this passage was written by the brother of Jesus, because for me it reminds me of the very way in which Jesus' teaching was so packed full of images. Sowers, vineyards, sheep, shepherds, women with lanterns, pigs feeding. Similarly, our passage today is absolutely crammed full of images. A horse and its bridle, a ship and its rudder, a forest and a fire. There are images of a beast, bird, reptile, sea creatures, fig trees, olives, grapevines, salt water, fresh water, a spring. And they're all images that stick in the mind that serve to bring James's point home in just the way that Jesus' teaching did. And as I've been thinking about this passage, I believe James is reminding us here about an essential concept in the Christian life. And that concept is renewal at the source. And if you're wondering what that means, we're going to come to what that's about in this passage, renewal at the source. And as I've been thinking about this passage, you know, I think that James is really talking here about communication. And for the people who receive this letter, most of them would have heard it. It would have been read out loud to different groups of believers. And just as a reminder, this letter was written, we believe, a little before 50 AD by James, the brother of Jesus, to Christians scattered around the Mediterranean basin in the time following the persecution, the stoning of Stephen, and in the persecutions that followed after that. But most of the people who would have received this letter would not have been readers themselves. They couldn't read. You know, most of them couldn't write. And of course, at the time, there was no landlines, there were no mobile phones, of course, there was no internet, there were no emails, WhatsApp messages, there were really no daily newspapers or post-it notes. Really, the only way to communicate from one person to another was through speech, was through the tongue. And that's why this passage is all about the tongue. But although he's very specific there in talking about the tongue, I believe as we read James here in the 21st century, you know, I think what James says here applies to communication in a wider sense. It applies to text messages, to emails, notes, letters, voicemails, memos, WhatsApp messages, social media communication, any kind of communication. And I think James is justified to use such strong language, to pick out such powerful images, you know, to say that the tongue is a fire that creates other fires, to compare the power of the tongue to the rudder of a ship or to that little 5 or 6 inch bit in the mouth of a horse, which is able to effectively control a 1,000 pound animal. James is right to use what might seem at first like exaggerated language, because words have an incredibly powerful effect. And you know, I think I'm particularly conscious of that nowadays with regards to emails. And I will admit that I often feel nervous when I open up my email inbox. I sometimes think of it as an unexploded inbox. And that's because sometimes what we read in an email or maybe a text message can affect us for a few minutes or a few hours or even a few days afterwards. A few words put together in the right, or should we say the wrong way, can get under our skin, can get into our minds, can affect our whole mood. They can affect the direction of our day, just as a rudder can affect the course of a ship. But already in verse 6 of our passage, James touches on what is the source of our words, or what can be the source, what is their origin. And as we're going to see, we all need renewal at the source. And in this tough letter and this tough passage, you know, I think verse 6 is probably the toughest verse in this passage. And it's where James uses incredibly strong language to point out that the tongue, that our words, if we're not careful, can be a channel, a kind of a conduit for sin. As he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And they're quite shocking words to hear, and we're probably shocked to hear James say that the tongue could be set on fire by hell. But you know what I think he's saying is that harmful words, words that trip off our tongue or that find their way into written communication nowadays, may find their very origin, their source, as it were, in sin, effectively in evil. As John Calvin comments on verse 6, a slender portion of flesh, and by that he meant the tongue, contains a whole world of iniquity. And already here in verse 6, James is asking us to have a look at the source of our words, to get to their origin. And to really, really get to the source, to get to the very root of what James is saying, we have to go all the way to verse 11. Because ultimately, having gone through images of ships and horses, of rudders and sparks and fire and animals, birds, reptiles, fish, grapevines, figs, one final image takes us to the crux of the matter. James says in verse 11, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? What is of ultimate importance with our words? Whether they trip off our tongue, whether they get hammered out in an email or typed in a WhatsApp message, what really matters is their source. as James says, the spring from which these rivers of words flow. And you know, I think what James is saying is that the only place where change can truly take place, where our tongue, our words can be changed, where that change can be truly significant, is at their source. James says, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water, and so presumably, neither can a fresh spring produce salt water. But what is that source? And you know, I think we're right here to look at the teaching of Jesus. And we find echoes in Jesus' teaching of James's words, because, you know, if we're wondering what the source, what the spring of our words is, then we find a clue in Matthew 12:34, where Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that word overflow carries overtones of something liquid. It, you know, it reminds us of water. It's a reference to water flowing. And it really reminds us of this spring of water James is talking about here in James 3. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need renewal at the source. We need renewal, I think Jesus is saying, and James is saying, in our hearts. When the tongue cannot be tamed, where fires cannot be put out, where salt water cannot be turned into fresh water, we have to look deeper than the tongue itself, deeper than our words themselves, to the source of all our words, the source of all our communication, the heart. And you know, I think here James is reminding us that the only way to see real change, the only way for a tongue to become a blessing only tongue and not a blessing and cursing tongue, is for something as radical as new birth to take place within us. The new birth that James spoke of in chapter 1, the birth that comes through the word of truth. And one commentary says about this passage, only a renewed heart can produce pure speech. And again, consistently pure speech is to be the product of a renewed heart. And so James' desire for us, I believe, and my own prayer for us this morning, is that as we think about speech, as we think about communication, emails, text messages, voicemails, conversations we have, my prayer is that we would have a renewed heart. That we would each pray for a renewed heart, that we would think beyond our words, beyond that spark of fire, beyond that potential of the tongue to corrupt, and pray for change at the source, that the word of truth, that Jesus himself would renew us deep within our hearts. May we know renewal at the source. And as we do that, may we learn to bless each other with our words. And I would just invite you to say with me now these words of blessing that come from the book of Numbers, words of blessing that have been used by the people of God for thousands of years, words that come from God himself, the source of all goodness and truth. So let's say together, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.